Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Raina Troy Hotline.
Alicia, Michael, what's going on?
We know you have takes. We have takes.
I'm actually surprised that your rant line, rave line, whatever, isn't completely full.
Why can't we just win a game?
Can I blame Michael Castillo for this?
Can I blame Bob Connolly for this?
Could I put on a zebra shirt and just go out there?
Scratch, claw, up against the wall.
Can't explain that what I'm feeling right now, guys.
I can't believe it.
Let's open up that rave line! Woohoo!
Oh, I can't believe USD has hired Lincoln Riley. Oh, yeah.
Hello, everybody. We're back for episode 484 of the Reign of Troy radio podcast here live on YouTube. This is going to be a tier ranking of USC's biggest wins of the Pac-12 era. We're also publishing tonight over on our membership only feed here on YouTube. For our members, tier ranking USC's biggest heartbreak losses of the Pac-12 era. It is a twin bill, a double feature. If you're a member, if you're not a member, this is the perfect opportunity here to join us, as always, live on YouTube every Monday night at 5 p.m. or, as tonight goes, 5:15 p.m. But also join us and join the Rot Squad, where you can join us for extra content, as well as joining us over on Discord as well. I'm your host, Michael Castillo, joining along with my co-host here in the Rancho Studio in Los Angeles, Alicia Daratola.
Hello, everybody.
Hello. We are here. Reverend Murdy in the chat says, I didn't think there was going to be an episode tonight. Yeah, because we're 15 minutes late because we recorded the members-only episode right before this, and there was a lot to cover.
It may have gone a little long.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. So yeah. You have that to look forward to if you're a member, or if you're thinking about becoming a member and you want to sign up just to commiserate with us about USC's most memorably frustrating losses, then yeah.
Yeah. Forward. But here on the live show, we're talking about USC's biggest wins of the Pac-12 era. We talked about it. This is the time we talked to our buddy Kenny of Traveler Hates Thursdays, formerly of Traveler Hates Thursdays. Rest in peace to that pod. We talked to him last week, and we're like, this is such a great time to start going over all the Pac-12 stuff. Ideally, we'd do it next year because we could, you know, who is the best player of the Pac-12 era? Who is the best this of the Pac-12 era? Because this upcoming season still is going to be the final year of the Pac-12 era, but let's be honest. When the season ends, it's Big Ten fully ahead. Like it's all gas on the Big Ten era.
Yeah, there will be a lot to talk about, a lot to cover, a lot to immerse ourselves in when it comes to the Big Ten. So, yeah, we might as well start doing our Pac-12 goodbyes now.
Yeah, absolutely. So here we go. For episode 484.
For those, for those in the chat who are scared of the heartbreakers, that's a more fun conversation than you might think. Conversations, a lot of laughs, actually, yeah. Looking back. There's only one or two that are unspeakable, and get through those quick.
1, 2, 3, 4, maybe 8. We'll see. That'll be posted later tonight for members only. But let's talk about some really quick news items before we rush into things. All right. Couple of news. USC transfers have found new homes, and they are going to be on USC's schedule this fall. Garrett Bryant Jr., he is headed to Oregon. Safety Britton Allen is headed to Utah.
In conference transfers are always tough. I think when you look at USC and where they're at with both of those positions, these aren't the transfers that you sort of hurt over, and you just hope that those guys don't hurt USC when they play them this fall.
Yeah, I think that, you know, Britton Allen has a bright future. I always liked what I saw of him.
Yeah, I would have loved for him to do something at USC, but it just never came together.
Yeah, and with Gary Bryant Jr., you saw those flashes. I think he absolutely has potential, to be a star player. We'll see if it all comes together for him up in Eugene. Same thing with Britton Allen in Salt Lake City.
And just to mention, not to jump ahead, but both of them also got their degrees this past weekend. They both were among the football players who graduated, so good on them.
Yeah, SC had the graduation this past week, and which reminds me that this week, 2 days from now, Wednesday, will be my 10-year anniversary of graduating from SC, which is mind-boggling to me. Like, I feel like just yesterday I was walking down the thingamajig.
It's crazy. Time goes fast.
It is absolutely insane. So big congratulations to all of the SC grads. Although a big sorry to, I missed the name. Did you see the viral TikTok of the SC grad who had the sash that was misspelled?
Yeah. It was the arts. What was it? Not theater. It was,
some dramatic arts.
Dramatic arts. Dramatic arts.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
Good times. Yeah. Anyways, the other news, is Dylan Raiola, the, quarterback out of Pinnacle High in Phoenix. I feel like this is just a Pinnacle High pod now. Mm-hmm. Of course,
can't go an episode
Robinson.
Pinnacle High.
From Pinnacle High. Mm-hmm. Dylan Raiola, the number one recruit in the nation, he is committed to Georgia. The Georgia Bulldogs, the number one recruit in the nation for the 2024 class. He had SC there in the mix, but ultimately picks Georgia over USC and Nebraska. Five-star quarterback. Got a feel for those Bulldogs. The reeling after not getting Deuce Robinson, and they get Raiola instead.
Yeah, I don't know that USC is reeling from this one. Going back the other way, when you get Malachi Nelson in this most recent class, and you trust that Lincoln Riley will be able to have his put his hand in it at recruiting the next number one quarterback. This year was not the year that USC needed to get the top guy, although it would have been nice to get Dylan Raiola. But you know, it's also hard for a top guy to pick USC when the sort of heir apparent is already present.
It's a
big get for Georgia.
Malachi Nelson is here already on campus. So we'll see what comes of that. Nonetheless, all things continue to move forward. There will be other quarterbacks. This is one of those things where it's not about missing on these quarterbacks. It's missing on a quarterback. You need to have a quarterback.
Yeah.
SC currently does have a quarterback in Malachi Nelson, who's going to be around the same time, but still forward. SC will move. So let's move on and just get to the tier ranking, shall we? Like, this is what we all want to do, talk about the wins.
Considering how long it took us to talk about the losses, we should just get rolling on the tier ranking.
Yes. We got a comment from Kenny in the chat. Says, is this going to be ranking interconference wins or all wins from that era? All wins from the era.
Yes.
So the Pac-12 era started in 2011. SC, of course, played in the first Pac-12 game. And I just realized, dummy me did not put that win on this tier ranking list. I'm dumb.
Because
should have been on there.
I guarantee you it would have been not memorable because I can't even sit here and...
It was memorable. SC beat Utah 23-14. It was a game that fans walked out thinking that the game was 17-14.
It was
a blocked punt by Torin Harris. Torin Harris scooped it. And took it all the way back, but there was a penalty that said that the points didn't matter, but SC still won. 2 hours later, they said the points did matter. It was a big old deal in Vegas.
You know how not memorable that win was?
We literally talked about that win an hour ago.
And yes. I didn't remember it. So, Yeah.
There you go. All right. Let's get into our tier ranking, talking about USC. And the wins over the over anybody, right? Like this is going to be the tier rankings of any wins in the Pac-12 era for the Trojans. Here we go. We start with in 2011 with the 31-17 win at Notre Dame. The Juwanza Starling scoop and score. SC wins 31-17 on the road. Where does it go? We have tiers, which are forever iconic. These are the games you're going to remember for the rest of your life. Still buzzing. The games that you're literally still buzzing about. Good times. Those were just, man, those are good times when SC had a win like that. That was nice. The inverse to this was that sucked when we talk about the USC losses. But for wins, that was nice. And finally, not memorable. For wins that were maybe not memorable, but let's start in 2011. USC beats Notre Dame 31-17 in South Bend. Where's that rank for you?
Okay, I was gonna put this in. That was nice, but then I thought it's a rivalry game. Rivalry game should be elevated, so I would say good times. It's one of the more memorable plays of the last decade.
Yes.
Just the Juwanza Starling scoop and score. Like that's the first thing you think of. It's a play that comes to mind whenever Notre Dame is brought up as a rival. And it was just one of those really satisfying wins in a season of building momentum. That was one of the really ball moving sort of momentum getters, because before that, USC had lost to Arizona State. They mm-hmm. had some sort of weird wins against Arizona and Cal. Like it wasn't clear that it was a good season yet. And then that season signaled that it was going to be a good season.
Yeah. I think this is a good times win. What say you? Do you agree?
Yeah. It's a good times.
Good times win. One that I think really solidified that, hey, Barkley's a really damn good quarterback. And the 2011 season started out so slow. This kind of cemented that this could be a season that could have a lot of positives to it. Ultimately ended up being the case. The following month, SC wins 38-35 on the road at number 4 Oregon in 2011. A wild game. SC goes up big, has to hold on at the end when Maldonado misses and goes wide right on a field goal that was nearly blocked by Tony Burnett. SC gets the win, a big statement win, big game from Matt Barkley, big game from Marquise Lee and Robert Woods. Is this still buzzing, or is this forever iconic?
Still buzzing. I'm not. I'm going to wait to put it in the top category. I don't think it quite gets there for some reason that I will explain very shortly when we discuss the next win. Still buzzing. An incredible win. The payoff to all of the excitement. For the Stanford, the Stanford loss that didn't feel like a loss, the producer of the greatest Friday night video that USC has ever produced, or the impetus mm-hmm. for the greatest Friday night video that hype great, video that USC has ever produced.
Great Lane Kiffin ensemble with the white beanie.
Yes. Classic when he changed up away from the visor,
mm-hmm.
Which didn't always go well for USC, but
surely not in the Sun Bowl.
In this case, yes. So, yeah, I think this might have been different too if the ending hadn't been so nervy. Like USC almost blew this game. Like USC was blowing them out. That's the thing is they were blowing them out and they almost blew it.
Yeah.
So that took a little shine off, but it's still a really, really outstanding win that should have you buzzing.
A couple things that I think that cement this as a great win for SC. And I think that, yeah, it's fringe forever iconic, but I think still buzzing still works for now. We can move it up later if we decide to. But one of the things is this game aged perfectly. SC didn't blow it at the end. They could have. They didn't. The season ends the following week against UCLA. There's no bowl game. There's no repeat championship game. And as much as everyone is clamoring from that, you at least still didn't have the opportunity of going back to Eugene 2 weeks later and losing.
Yeah.
And which fair. I still think was probably going to happen. I think going up to Eugene and winning twice in 2 weeks, extremely difficult. And so everything ends just to the perfect opportunity. We're like, we're just maximum success and tap out and you cashed out. Like you're in a Vegas casino and you cashed out at the right time. That's what that was. Which leads us into the 50-0 USC win over the Bruins in 2011. The following week, I feel like this has to go into forever iconic just because of the 50-0 scoreline.
If we had a tier above forever iconic, it would go in that tier.
It's that
50
like,
to nothing.
High to you?
Yes. 50-0 against a rival. And like you said, in the context of a season where this was the finale. Nothing came after. There was nothing. You lived off of that win for the entire rest of the year. For the rest of the year, for the following year, it was an iconic victory that cemented. And also it was that same year, I think Rick Neuheisel had taken the newspaper article out that was talking about the
football monopoly. The newspaper article came out when he got hired.
Yeah, when he got hired.
But this is when it became a meme.
It became a meme because of this game, and that was amazing. Yes, absolutely, just on a tier... on a tier level of iconic, if we did a tier ranking of UCLA of wins for USC over UCLA, it would be in that S tier.
So I have
of greatness, and you're about to be the contrarian, and I don't.
I'm
like
not
it.
The contrarian here. Okay. I think this is belongs in forever iconic. Where the only thing that I have against this game is I think so much of it is because the score was 50-0. If it was 49-0, I don't think people feel the same way. If it was 52-3, I don't think people feel the same way.
Okay, that's
I think
fair.
If it was 50-2 and there was a safety, I don't think people feel the same way. Like the 50-0, like the numerals. It just looks clean, and that is why we remember it.
That's fair.
In addition to everything else, because it was the statement, it was the bowl game for the season, and all that stuff. And I think that to have the perfect 50-0 scoreline allows it to be that.
It's beautiful, yes.
Yeah, and like Kenny and says, that, but it wasn't 52-3. It was 50-0, exactly.
Yes,
yeah.
And also, like, it's just like, you dominated your rival.
Yeah.
I mean, Curtis McNeil went off. Marquise Lee and Robert Woods went off. I think if I remember correctly,
Ellison scored.
Their Marquise Lee and Robert Woods, the 13 and 12, 224 yards and 113 yards between for the two of them, two touchdowns each. Like, I think that was a record for teammates in a game, all of that kind of stuff. Just like being at the Coliseum, the vibe, everything about it was, I agree, 50-0 plays a role in the mythology of the win because it's such a perfect sort of score line.
Yeah.
But even so, it was just a, it was a domination of a rival, and that, that counts for even more from all perspectives. It just was an outstanding game.
Yeah. Kenny in the chat says, I remember Arrogant Nation wrote, USC put up a point for all 50 states and UCLA couldn't do one from Puerto Rico.
Yes, that was beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Let's move on to, we're going to skip the 2012 season, by the way. I was looking through the 2012 wins.
Is there,
I'm like,
is there a win that's worth discussing?
I don't think there's a win that's worth discussing in 2012, to be quite honest.
I debated
putting the ASU win on homecoming. By the way, the first day I ever, we ever met in person.
ASU, yeah. I went to that game.
Yeah, you did, yeah. But that's not a memorable. It would have easily gone into not memorable.
I went to that game and I don't remember it.
Yeah.
The most memorable part of that day was going to
El Cholo.
El Cholo.
Yeah.
You and Trenice.
But we moved to 2013. And we will start in 2013 with a game, another game I watched with you in person. November 1st. Well, we weren't in person at the game. We were at Traddy's, Traditions on campus. USC at Oregon State. Friday night game, November 1st. Oregon State came into this game red hot. I believe they were 6-1. 6-1. Their only loss was to FCS Eastern Washington coming into this game. Remember, Sean Mannion had not thrown an interception. This was the big deal going in this game. SC, the underdog, they go into Corvallis and they win 31-14 in 2013. I think at the time this felt like a big deal. I don't think it has aged well to the point that I don't think people remember it. So I think it's that was nice.
So this was the Buck Allen game.
Yes, this is the game that Buck Allen really cemented himself as, like, he's legit.
Yeah, and for that reason, I'd say that was nice. I feel like when I think of Buck Allen, this is the game I think of. This was also the sort of turn of the conversation about, because remember,
Coach O.
Coach O takes over. USC loses respectably to Notre Dame in South Bend. It's 14-10. Like, they didn't. Under those circumstances, like, it was respectable, whatever.
We didn't talk about that in the losses. No. That would have belonged in the still angry tier for me.
That's fair.
Easily one of the most, like, eye gouging losses I've ever seen in my life.
But it wasn't, you know, the team didn't completely lose its marbles.
Sure.
And you're building up some momentum with Utah, and then, or like you said, Oregon State. Corvallis is a nightmare place for USC fans, and Friday nights, weekday games in Corvallis especially are exceptionally nightmarish. So, yeah, I think this is that was nice.
Yeah, it was a that was nice, which leads us into the 20-17 win over number 5 Stanford in 2013. Rem Murdy mentioned this one in the chat earlier on. Is this a forever iconic or a still buzzing? This, of course, the crowd field rush game. It is the last time that College Game Day has been to USC's campus at McCarthy Quad. I think it's a forever iconic.
Forever iconic.
Yeah. Andre Hidari hits the game-winning field goal from 46 yards away. It is it's a game you remember forever. You remember where you were. You remember where you were in the Coliseum when you were there. Absolutely.
What's wild is that, like, this game was the sort of pinnacle of the Ed Orgeron tenure.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like an Ed Orgeron win, the way it happened, the way it all went down.
In hindsight, also the end of it.
Well, yeah.
But yes.
But, like, the... That, and that's like Tim in LA says, like, the buzz in the stadium when we finally broke the streak was crazy. The wife and I have a selfie on the field. Yeah, that's, like, to me, it's forever iconic because so many USC fans have memories of being on the field. That was the first time I had been on the field at the Coliseum. And, like, I went on to, you know, do photography and stuff. So I was on the field every week at the Coliseum. And It doesn't get, you don't get sick of it. I can tell you that. But like the first time you're down there and you're like getting to pat the shoulder pads of the winning kicker and like, it just
Andre Hidari.
Yes. Or of anybody. I don't even know. I think I patted Andre Hidari's shoulder pads. I don't know. It could have been anybody. It was wild. It was crazy. It was electric in the Coliseum. Yeah. Forever iconic. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. We go to the Vegas Bowl. 45-20 win over Fresno State in the Vegas Bowl. This, of course, the Derek Carr, Devontae Adams of Fresno State yeah. Bulldogs. Where do you rate them?
It's either good times or still buzzing. I'm leading still buzzing just because, and it's stupid. I just really enjoyed that game. I was there.
The game was fun.
It was fun. It was really fun. And I say this as someone who was deathly ill and hungover from the night before. Like the night before in Vegas, we were all hanging out in Vegas and like I got terribly sick. Overnight, and like I woke up the next morning and I was just dying. I was just not in a good like physical place, and the game was still really fun. Like the game was
a fun game for what it was. Yeah
And we touchdown raisins. That was touchdown the first time raisins, we experienced yeah. touchdown raisins. The people that were either behind us or next to us had these chocolate covered raisins that every time there was a touchdown everyone grabbed their touchdown raisins, and like I still think about that every like that's yeah. just such a cool tradition. I love it. Like, so from personal reasons, I think still buzzing. That was just really, really fun.
Yeah. And
everything about that, like that bowl game was like the anti Sun Bowl in the sense of like, yeah. everyone was just happy to be there. There were good vibes. Like, even though you'd lost,
it meant nothing, but
at least like, you were in Vegas and
yeah.
and just having a good time. And yeah. And the stadium's kind of intimate. So it was just sort of like a,
yeah.
everybody's all there.
It's like
together.
A little high school stadium.
Yeah, it's tiny. Yeah. And, but that brought, so it means that like, it wasn't cavernous or something like that. Yeah. I love that one.
Yeah. And
it was
Clay Helton's
first
game.
Win, which yeah. in hindsight will make other people angry. But it was like it was USC had nothing to lose, and they went
and
out there
just and like the Ed Orgeron era. Matt Hayden should have recognized and stage left.
Yes,
like that.
Absolutely.
Okay, you did it. We don't need to see any more. Thank you. That's
yes. yeah.
Coach O did it with Stanford. Okay, now you've done it here. All right, we can move on.
Yeah.
And that did not happen. Let's go to 2014. SC gets a 13-10 win at number 13 Stanford.
Is this the Pat Hayden on the sideline
yes.
on Sark game?
Yes, it is. I forgot about that moment.
Yeah.
This is also the Andre Hidari nails the 50-yard field goal. And then there's the fumble right after this with where's their quarterback? Why am I struggling to remember who their quarterback was? Number 8.
His name was
whatever. He fumbled the ball. SC stripped him and wins the game. Stanford, if I remember right, had 9 drives inside the 35 and could not score. I think this is a still buzzing game. I remember
Kevin Hogan.
Yeah.
Kevin Hogan. Yeah.
Kenny says it's the false hope game. It was the false hope
Absolutely
game.
Absolutely classic false hope game.
But I think it's still buzzing.
I'm going to give it still buzzing. Just think about it from this perspective, still buzzing. You transport yourself back to September 6, 2014, and you are conscious of the fact that it will not get better than that this year.
Yeah.
Like, this is the height for USC.
And Chris in the chat says losing to BC next week pulls the wind out of the sails. Yes, it did.
Not only are you completely unaware of COVID-19 and anything to do with our current existence, but like you don't even know what's happening at Boston College. You're not even thinking about Boston College yet. Yeah, good time. I mean, still buzzing.
All right. Probably I would put this together. I think this is the most forgotten ranked win in the history of USC football coming up. The 28-26 win at Arizona in 2014.
Was this?
This was the game in which Sark got the, he iced the kicker at halftime and successfully, and Arizona did not take the lead at the half, and then tried to do it at the end of the game, and it still worked because they blocked the field goal or missed the field goal at the end. Leonard Williams was insane in this game.
Speaking of Leonard Williams in the Stanford game, playing on one leg.
He was hurt. We didn't even know if he was going to play.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Stanford and this Arizona game are peak Leonard Williams.
Yes. And that's, now that you bring it up, Leonard Williams in this game was absolutely, as the Brits say, unplayable. Two sacks, forced fumble.
Mega.
Was the fumble at the goal line or something? Like it was something.
Yeah, it was a really big hit.
Yeah, huge Leonard Williams games. Huge Leonard Williams.
This
game.
Was intense. I remember a lot of Pac-12 ref moments. I think there was like a bang bang play on a roughing the punter or roughing the punt returner thing.
Yeah, and Arizona scored two touchdowns in the fourth quarter. USC went scoreless in the fourth quarter. It was sort of
that was nice?
Okay,
or is it good times?
My instinct was to put it as not memorable because I literally did not remember it.
I think
we're not
going to
do Leonard Williams like that. And also, Buck Allen had 205 yards and three touchdowns in this game.
Yes.
So we're not going to do them dirty like that. That was nice. Yes.
Okay. 49-14 win over Notre Dame in 2014 to end the regular season. I did not watch this game or go to this game. I have no memory of this game because I was in New Orleans with our friend Trinice filming for her her senior thesis her dissertation, whatever. I was filming the Bayou Classic. I was at the We were at the Grambling Southern game at the Superdome, getting updates on my phone about what was happening in this game. So I got nothing.
This is wild.
This is not memorable for me, but what about you?
I wish I could fill you in on it, but I it's not memorable for me either, except Cody Kessler had six touchdowns.
He did, yeah. I think George Farmer went off in this game.
Yeah, it was Malik Zaire, and then Everett Golson took over for him later because USC was smacking him around. I don't know. I don't remember.
Kenny says not memorable.
It's just not memorable. Okay, so that's fair, is that it comes after the UCLA loss.
Right.
It feels like the season is already over.
I think that's fair.
I don't think Notre Dame was good that year. So, like, was it, what was their, yeah, they were 8-5. Like, they weren't anything special. There are other wins or losses that USC has where Notre Dame's really good at the end of the season.
Of all the wins over Notre Dame that have mattered, this is the least memorable and the least meaningful.
This
right?
is your argument for the, if it wasn't 50-0, you wouldn't remember it. Because this is 49-14. This should be one of the greatest wins over Notre Dame in USC history. And I literally do not remember a single play.
We're putting it not memorable.
Cody Kessler. When I think of like big Cody Kessler games, I think of like the Colorado game where he threw like seven touchdowns.
Yeah, 50-6. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. 45-42 win over Nebraska in the 2014 Holiday Bowl, aka the first game Randy Troy was ever credentialed. This is the jet sweep touchdown from Adoree Jackson and the flip into the end zone.
AKA the game where Alicia was not dressed for
the cold
brittle San Diego.
Brutal weather, yeah.
And my toes froze off. But
I think it's good times.
This was good times because Adoree Jackson.
Yeah. And just setting the stage for what we thought in 2015 would be like his Heisman campaign.
Yes.
Did not end up being the case, but
I have like very strong memory of the moment that Adoree Jackson caught that like swing pass and just glided down the field, and you just look at it and go like, no one runs like this kid, like just on air.
Oof. The aforementioned dissertation that our friend Trinace was making, the film project that she was putting together, we had to interview T. Martin said of that play that as soon as they lined up Sark, he and Sark had noticed that the way that lined up, that if they audibilized to this thing, that it would be a touchdown. They know it.
And it was.
It was, yeah. 42-14 win at ASU in 2015. We know that Bleacher Report would give this one an A. Famously, an A. They rated Steve Sarkisian and his coaching in this game.
In litigation.
Yes. Where do we go?
I'm going good times just because it was sitting smack dab in that dab in the middle of this bad
was
times.
That was nice. It was kind of nice.
I feel like good times just because like Cody Kessler was never better than this moment. And like I living off of just my memory of like Cody Kessler being special in this game, or it felt like he was.
We could like go good peak. Times because it gets the bump from the it's revenge for Jail Mary plus the whole legal element.
But it
does
was also
make it somewhat
like,
memorable. Sure,
it was also like Chris, a false dawn almost.
Chris
like,
in the chat says it got better with age. It did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fermented well.
Fermented. But it was also a false dawn because like USC had already lost to Stanford, but it wasn't like a bad loss.
Yeah, but
bouncing back the way that they did,
it
felt
did
like,
feel
oh, this
like
team
the,
is fine.
It did and feel like won. The season, like the playoff hopes, because there were playoff hopes at that time, like were gone. Anyways, we go to. Move on in 2015. It is the first home game for Clay Helton as a head coach. A 42-24 win over number 3 Utah.
Cam Smith, 3 interceptions.
Yes. Cam Smith game.
I'm going to go.
I think it's a still
good times.
Is it a still buzzing or is it a good times?
Okay, so here's the problem. Like,
It's at least a good time.
Even in the moment, we sort of knew that this wasn't the underdog USC knocking off number 3 in the country, Utah. I think USC was favored in the game. Like
they were 3-point favorites. Yeah.
Yeah. But wonderful performance across the board from USC. Cam Smith with the 3 interceptions was yes. just so much fun. There was Ronald Jones.
It's we just go still buzzing.
Or, I said good, good times. I think it was just good times. Okay. I don't know that I'm like buzzing off.
I don't know that I'm buzzing.
This
off
isn't
of it
a
either.
Game that like USC fans bring up with to bring up to Utah fans to troll them. Like, do, I mean, or if they do, I don't see it. Like, I don't know.
Right. Maybe I'm. You know. Maybe this is weird, but. I sort of expected SC to sort of win that game and bounce back from, you know, the firing of Steve Sarkisian and all that kind of stuff that like, it kind of, that took away a little of the luster was the, you know, being favored and all that stuff. Let's go to 40-21 over number 22 UCLA in 2015, a win that clinches the Pac-12 South. SC goes to the first Pac-12 championship game in school history. First one that they're able to play in, of course. Big We Are SC chant at the end. There was a scoop and score. There was a dominant, like, 8-minute drive where they just ran the ball down UCLA's throat in the fourth quarter. Good times?
Good times. It was a win over UCLA, which is always good times.
Yeah.
Is it?
I don't think it can be anything more
no,
than that.
No, I have mixed feelings. I just, this week.
This was the game that literally got Clay Helton
yes,
hired.
Yes, and I think that's why.
I think that kind of poo-poos it a little bit.
It kind of poo-poos it a little bit, because I remember thinking, like, that was good, but there was this sort of underlying, like,
yeah,
uncertainty about the future of the program, and, yeah.
All right, we move to 2016, and for a split second, I stupidly, in my haste of prepping for this episode, thought, huh, that's weird that there aren't any wins during the 2016 regular season, right? No, dummy! You big dumb! 26-13 over number 4 Washington in Montlake, in Seattle, at Husky Stadium. Saturday Night Football. in 2016, it's at least still buzzing, perhaps forever iconic. Big game from our buddy.
Hey, baby. Hey, baby. Hey, baby.
In hindsight, I think you're doing a disservice to USC's win over Colorado.
The tight end game?
Yes.
So, little inside baseball here. When I put in all these games, I had that Colorado game in here, and then rechecked, and I'm like, oh, I left off the Washington game. And so I just swapped it in for the Colorado game. But Colorado game could have been on
Tyler
here, but
Petit
it would,
is,
the
is,
Colorado
this,
game would have just been a that's nice.
This
and we
Tyler
would have moved
Petit
on.
Tight end erasure is noted.
You didn't even bring up Tyler Petit when we were talking in the heartbreaks about the loss to Oregon in 2015. Harry had that touchdown, that floater pass from Kessler.
Well, there were a million of like great plays. Yeah,
famously, all those Tyler Petit highlights.
Yeah.
He did have a bunch of like iconic touchdowns. So I'll give you that.
Yeah. Okay. So Washington, yes. Still buzzing? Is it iconic?
It
might be iconic just because that's the, going into Penn State.
I think it's at least still buzzing.
Okay.
To me, it's the equal game to the win at Oregon in 2011. It's the same game, with the exception of obviously the game's played out differently and whatnot, but like the same sort of
setup. It's you're building momentum going through the season, but are you real? Because let's be real, Arizona,
it's the big validator.
Cal and Oregon that year turned out to be terrible.
Yeah.
And so it was like, is this real? And then they play Washington and it's like, yes, this is real. And Adoree Jackson goes off and Imadu Bebe goes off, and this is just the whole vibe. It's Clay Helton getting one over on Chris Peterson when no one thought that would happen because everyone knew who the better coach was and this, that, and the other thing. Like, it was the first Clay Helton win over an actually established good coach.
I remember the pod because all those wins in between, there were wins over at ASU. There was a win over Colorado. They're like
Arizona, Cal, Oregon.
Yeah, like there were
these
games.
Same game. It's 45-48-ish.
And we said on the pod every single time, these will mean nothing until SC beats Washington.
Well, and it was going to be the last four games of the season, remember? Because
right. We
talked about when we looked at the schedule, it was November is going to be really tough.
We called it a reverse hamburger.
Yes, it was a reverse hamburger. And we didn't realize at the time that Oregon wasn't very good, but certainly Washington, UCLA, and Notre Dame as an ending. And UCLA and Notre Dame.
UCLA and Notre Dame ended up being bad.
Yeah,
so was Oregon. Yeah.
So it was sort of like the one chance for USC to prove that they were something. And they did. It was an outstanding road performance from a team that had not been great on the road earlier in the season.
Yeah. So we move on to the next big one, 52-49 against Penn State in the Rose Bowl. Is that a that's nice?
Forever iconic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your favorite play of that game?
Oh, dear.
I know what mine is, but I'm curious if it's yours.
Okay, the one that plays in my head all the time, and this is weird and random and not what anyone's going to think. The touchdown to Juju Smith-Schuster, and this is purely a personal thing. The touchdown to Juju Smith-Schuster.
Is it because of the angle that we were sitting at?
The angle that we were sitting at.
Looked like it was like he was throwing to a Penn State defender.
Yes, it was just like the perfect view of to create max drama on the play.
Mm-hmm.
Cuz the angle was of his throw, like we were right in line of it, but we couldn't see Juju had
comes
to come
from like
into
behind
frame.
The guy. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was just like, I just think about that, watching the ball leave
Darnold's
hands.
Well, especially because this is the Darnold game, obviously.
Yes.
I want to rewatch this game just to sort of validate how I feel about this. But I remember in the moment thinking that Darnold had a bad third quarter.
He did. Well, USC had a bad third quarter.
He had a great start to the game, obviously an incredible fourth quarter. But his third quarter, aside from that pass to Juju for the touchdown, and aside from him not stumbling and getting his knee on the ground on the two-point conversion, he missed a couple of throws. And so that pass to Juju in the moment from our angle in the press box looked like he was a surefire pick. You watch it back and you're like, no, this is a freaking perfect pass.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's an iconic moment for me.
Also, I want to acknowledge the discussion in the chat right now. Yeah. We skipped over the Adoree Jackson Notre Dame game. Sorry, Adoree.
Yeah. Still buzzing. Still buzzing.
Yeah. Just for Adoree Jackson, the hat trick is going to be something we talk about forever. So.
Yes.
But yes, the for me it was that play. I think that the Deontay Burnett final touchdown.
The Deontay Burnett is the play for me.
We were down on the field by that point.
We're down on the field, and from our perspective, we are standing at about the 5-yard line.
Yeah, in that range.
On the press box side, and I just remember Deontay Burnett just leaping and catching it.
Just having that straight up angle of that.
Yeah. And then remember that was the game where everybody was slipping on the ground and Saquon Barkley has that incredible, amazing run.
Yes.
In which like 9 SC defenders slipped. Right.
Yes.
And so Penn State goes on their final drive. You and I are running down behind the Penn State bench because we want to get in good position for their final drive. And while we are running down is the interception.
Yes.
The second one that Leo McQuay actually grabs, and we then have to stop and turn, and I nearly tore my ACL right there. Like,
can you imagine?
I it's amazing. I didn't at least like split my pants or something. Like, it was, I don't know how I didn't get hurt. Doing a 180 running back to get to the same spot we were at before. And yeah, SC wins the game on a big long field goal from
Matt Bormeister.
Yeah. So, all right, we move on to 2017 proper. The 42-24 win. By the way, Tim in LA says for me it was the TD to Deontay. We could see the route and exactly how Darnold threw him open. Yeah, the angle from the sky cam on that. Chef's kiss.
Just because absolutely gorgeous.
You look at it, it's like there's no business Darnold has throwing this ball, especially with Marcus Allen, who is the safety for Penn State, and he still just puts it in a spot that it's just like ridiculous. The balls to have that throw and like pull it off is nuts. Chris says Michael Hutchins putting the team on his back to tackle Saquon on third down, so we got the ball back. That was a hell of a huge moment too, because I remember walking down to the field. Fans were leaving. SC fans were leaving. There were hundreds, if not thousands, of people who missed the end of that game.
For shame.
Pour one out. No. All right, 2017. SC wins 42-24 over number 14 Stanford at the Coliseum. This was the game SC had like 9,000 yards of total offense. Also the game that I jinxed the 2017 season. We recorded the car cast at your parents' house, if I remember right. And I said that I was kind of worried because I said that they might have put the expectations too far out of reach because they might never have a game that is this good on offense. Mm-hmm. And that I was worried about that. And I thought that would be a controversial take in the moment. It probably was. But I was right.
Speaking of, if that Stanford game was, sort of a false teaser.
Right?
Oh, absolutely. Still buzzing. Yes. Who was the offensive? Chris Brown, I think.
Chris Brown had a hell of a game. Rest in peace.
An outstanding offensive, performance.
Stephen Carr.
Yes. Stephen Carr had a great game. Stephen Mitchell had a great game.
Mm-hmm.
It just felt, I remember talking after that game that felt like the perfect USC offense. Like the offense,
yes,
could not have executed
super balanced
better.
Like they could run the ball, they, yes, could do anything you
and
wanted,
and to have that dominant rushing performance. Rojo has 116 yards on the ground. Mm-hmm. Vi Malapai and my guy Vi has 49 yards on the ground, ran the ball really well in 6 carries. To do that against Stanford, now we didn't know that Stanford sucked. To do that against Stanford felt big. It felt like, oof, this is a statement game. I remember writing about how this is a statement game. And unfortunately, that didn't quite follow through.
Yeah, not quite.
But in the moment, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
In the moment, still buzzing. Let's go to the, I believe the following week, SC gets a double overtime win over Texas, 27-20. I think this is, to me, is still buzzing. I know there were a lot of people who were disappointed with that game. And I remember getting in, I was annoyed at their Twitter reaction because people were upset that how dare SC play a close game. And I get it. But also, in that moment, SC had a long winning streak. They hadn't lost in almost a calendar year. They just won a game with the walk-on kicker kicking a game-tying field goal and then a game-winning field goal in overtime. Like, that was everything that we talk about college football being. That has to be at least a still buzzing, or if not forever iconic moment. You got the jump pass from Darnold. Like, the whole bit, all of it. Especially against Texas, you feel the angst from the Rose Bowl still there. Like, how could you be disappointed? How could you be?
I personally put this in forever iconic. Personally,
I let's do
everything
it.
About this game was satisfying.
Let's
to
do
me.
It.
Rojo's sort of like
the Hail Mary checkdown.
The Hail Mary checkdown at halftime to score the touchdown there.
It proved that Kessler wasn't crazy.
No, he was. He was not crazy. The
block from Stephen Mitchell.
The performance from Chenowosu. The first half mm-hmm. from Porter Gustin before he got injured. Yep. Like, all of my faves had a really good
13
game.
All-American Jack Jones, I think, had a pick.
Yeah, it was just like everyone that I really wanted to do well did really well in this game. Rojo had his iconic moment. There was the iconic Stephen Carr moment on, it was third down, third and long. Darnold had big iconic moments to win the game on the field goal to force overtime in the first place. I got to be on the field. The last time that USC had an overtime winner at the Coliseum, not overtime, but like a game-winning kick at the death at the Coliseum, I stormed the field. And then this time I was under the goalpost as a photographer for that mm-hmm. game. And to see that go in and the team just celebrating and to be there in and among the celebrations with my camera, just taking photos and getting to soak in it all. Like, it just from a personal perspective, everything about the game was perfect. Was Texas as good as we wish they would have been so that it could have been a really iconic game? No, but like, there was also bad blood there. Like, for a long time, you and I had a poster from that game hanging up on the wall about, you know, talking yeah. about the Sam Darnold and like the USC Texas rematch. Like, I just, everything about to me, the game was iconic.
I remember going into the tunnel and I was walking up the tunnel and I looked to my right and it was Vince Young. And it was the weirdest moment.
Didn't you send me a text message saying that like you were standing behind Matthew McConaughey or something like
well,
that?
Well, there was another time where I think I saw Matthew McConaughey, but I think it was our friend Keeley who was next to McConaughey.
Okay, yeah.
But just, I might have seen McConaughey. I think I was close to McConaughey.
Somebody I know saw
but
McConaughey. No, but either way, it was just like...
The Vince Young thing was surreal because it's like... I'm walking up the tunnel and child me hated this man. And here he is 2 feet
like
from me.
In front of you. Yeah.
Yeah. This is weird. All right. Let's move on to the Utah win in 2017. 28-27. Utah scores at the end. They go for a 2-point conversion to win on the road. Troy Williams scrambles to the outside and he's stopped by a Jayne Harris. Can't get in.
Is this still buzzing? Because I feel like this just like was one of those, again, like just dramatic as all, like sweaty, just like how like the margin between USC winning and losing this game was just like the width of a hair. Like, it was just, yeah.
I hate to break it to you. No, I think this was that's nice.
Okay,
because I remember being at the Coliseum, and like it was one of those things where, yes, SC needed the win, but like they had lost to Washington State a couple weeks before. The season had already started to take that sort of yucky turn. Obviously, SC wins the conference in 2017, so it's not really yucky, but it's yucky in comparison to the preseason expectations. And this was when I think the luster was really off of the Clay Helton start.
That's fair.
And so I think this is...
And the next week, it sort of goes to show that it was, you know...
Yeah, the next week is the blowout at Notre Dame. Yeah. All right, okay, we'll move on.
That's nice. I'm fine with that.
And we go to the 49-35 win over number 23, Arizona, in 2017. This, of course, the Khalil Tate Arizona team. SC jumps out to a huge lead and then blows it to Khalil Tate, who goes completely off. But SC scores the final 14 points to win 49-35. There's a brilliant pass from Darnold to Rojo down the sideline where he just feathered it in on a wheel route that was beautiful. Yeah. Good times.
I'm going to go that was nice just because that third quarter was the most miserable experience of time in a football game. A
lot of weird penalty stuff.
So many penalties. It was just all about the refs. Like it was good to get the win. It was an exciting game, but I dock it for some of just the yeesh of it all.
All right. Pac-12 championship game. Month later, 31-26 over number 14, Stanford. I think this has to be a still buzzing. SC wins the Pac-12 championship. Wasn't the great iconic moment that I think you'd want a conference title to be, but...
I disagree, but...
Do you think it is iconic?
I think the goal line stand at the end is iconic. I think Josh follows...
Is it iconic in like...
I think it's probably living in a space between iconic and buzzing.
Yeah, are you going to tell your children about that 50 years from now? I don't think
maybe
so.
Maybe not, but that's
and I
fair.
And I say that as a, you know, as a Chenowosu stand here.
But for a Pac-12 title win, it was, you know, those don't come like what's
I think
it?
Still buzzing.
Okay, we go still buzzing. That's fine.
I think still
I will argue
Kenny
for
in the chat
iconic.
Says iconic.
I just think it's the only Pac-12 title win that USC has in this era, right? Am I missing one?
No, that's it.
So, and it happens with the goal line stand. Shannon Wilson.
Okay, we're going iconic then. We're going iconic.
Play. Like, yeah, I think we still talk about it enough. Okay. Is it's knocked down because 2017 in the Clay Helton era leaves a bad taste in everyone's mouth. So, because of what happens at the end of the season. But for that moment, Pac-12 title win, yeah, against a rival who had USC's number on plenty of other occasions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, 31-20 win over number 19 Colorado in 2018. This is, of course, the infamous Palaye Naoteote game.
Not memorable.
That's that is totally valid. Not memorable is totally fine for this.
Except for I remember that he had a great game in one of those games. But
this was the time the brief moment when it's like, yeah, he needs the 55.
Yes,
and it was very fleeting.
What a lovely brief moment of give the kid the 55. Yeah.
All right, 2019, 45-20 over number 23 Stanford in 2019. This is, of course, the Keaton Slovis first start game. That was nice. It has to be that was nice.
Yeah, I think that was nice. I think that's fair. You go in, yeah, Stanford's 40, ranked. Keaton
45 unanswered points, I think.
You thought you were going to have JT Daniels.
42 unanswered.
In his second go-around, and instead you end up with Keaton Slovis, and it's very uncertain about what the future for USC holds, and he goes out and slings it, and you're like, oh, this kid can play. Okay, let's go.
Yeah,
that was nice.
Yeah, that was nice. The 2019 win over number 10 Utah, 30-23. Reggie Bush on the sidelines. It's Matt Fink throwing YOLO balls. Utah in man coverage and not willing to change things up. This was Utah's only blemish in the season until the Pac-12 championship game.
Forever iconic, and I said it. Okay.
I don't hate that.
You know what the worst thing about the Pete Carroll losing the first Pac-12 road game trend was? My birthday is September 20th. When do you think most of those games happened? Around the week of my birthday. Sure. It became a thing. I got annoyed. So the fact that USC won a game on my birthday with my boy Matt Fink, who I went to bat for in the offseason and got ridiculed by people after spring camp when I ranked him at the top of my quarterback power rankings because I said out of spring camp, he was the one that had the offense looking the best. I'm sorry. I know everyone wants it to be different, but like, I'm sorry. That's what I saw with my own two eyes. For him to come out and YOLO ball the hell out of that on my birthday against Utah with that, with Reggie Bush being there. Oh, everything about that just like inject it into my veins.
I feel like it's just still iconic. Buzzing, but okay. I will cater to you and give you the
okay. We, forever we can iconic. Go still buzzing. I'm fine with it being still buzzing for me. Well, if you're personally, fine with it, me personally, YOLO ball coming out of that game was everything. Yes, absolutely. Just euphoric for me. Like it was it felt like my day, and it was my day. It was my birthday.
Yeah, it was a good gift. Let's move to 2020. The 28-27 win over Arizona State. Of course, this is the rabid comeback SC had at 9 a.m. in an empty Coliseum with a tipped pass and reception by Brew McCoy, followed by a touchdown up the seam to Drake London.
That game.
Is it a that's nice? It's obviously it was cool. Like, it was cool in the moment. But, like, is it really good times?
I think I'm going to say it was really good times because I don't want to do Drake London dirty.
Okay.
He was immense. The way that USC came back was immense. The context of the game was stupid. It never should have been that close. It was a sort of a sign of where USC was, all of that kind of stuff. But like, we didn't know what the rest of the season was going to be. We just knew that football was being played and that was good. Like, we were happy that football was being played. It was sort of weird being in an empty Coliseum. So the whole thing was just sort of weird. But like, in terms of USC wins, like, if you're going to pull off a comeback in the final 3 minutes of the game, the way that USC did it with the touchdown catch that USC did it with that Drake London pulled off, good times. I'm going to pay respect to that man.
All right. Let's go to a 43-38 win at UCLA in 2020. I think this is good times. That was a hell of a game. At the Rose Bowl, the COVID season. I think this is the only thing worth mentioning ever about the COVID season was that game. I think it's worth a good times. SC wins in the final seconds.
Yeah, it's thinking back times. On it, in the losses episode, we had a lot of Brent Hundley talk. Is Dorian Thompson-Robinson like the anti-Brent Hundley in the sense that like he's really good? Like USC and UCLA played each other close so many times in his era, but USC got the better of him in
all but that one time.
All about that one time. Yeah.
Well, two times, I guess. Yeah. Was he the? I don't remember. Was he the quarterback for the?
Like he was injured.
The 2018 game. I don't think he was.
I don't remember. But no, yeah, I good times. That was nice. Either. All right. Yeah.
We get to the final three, the Lincoln Riley era wins here. 17-14 on the road at Oregon State. SC pulling it out of their derriere. The Nealon nudge, followed by the touchdown pass to Jordan Addison. I think this is a still buzzing.
Yes.
Still buzzing? Good times?
Good times?
Okay, did the final minute salvage the frustration?
So here's the thing. This final minute absolutely salvaged what was a very painful eyesore of a game. Like, Caleb Williams was not good. USC's offense was not good.
That's fair. Let's just go good times.
I go good times. Yeah.
Yeah, because Yeah, my thing, I think Lincoln Riley was should be given the benefit of the doubt for a bad performance. It's early. It was early on in his fourth game. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I don't think it's that big of a deal. But yeah, yeah. I hear you. All right, 48-45 win at number 16 UCLA.
It's another one of those iconic DTR.
It's forever iconic.
DTR, just USC and UCLA, when DTR is the quarterback, are just going to go off and choose chaos. And in this case, USC got the better of it. And was it particularly iconic for the defense? No, but in terms of just pure entertainment value,
it's a game we will remember forever.
Yes. Corey Foreman being out of position for a game-ending interception. Iconic. Yeah.
Yes. All right. We get to the Notre Dame win, 38-27 over Notre Dame. Kenny, by the way, said about the UCLA game that it was like a movie.
It was. You couldn't script it. You really couldn't.
Yeah, it really did feel that way. The Notre Dame win. SC wins 38-27. Caleb Williams puts all the punctuation necessary on the Heisman. I am torn between iconic and buzzing, and I think it's somewhere in the middle of there. It's at least buzzing.
I think it's buzzing just because, like, can we all take a second to recognize that, like, USC's defense made Drew Pine look like he could throw a football?
But that game was never in doubt.
No, it was never in doubt, and Caleb Williams did.
It was the most
the
comfortable of any of the games in the second half of the season.
Yes. Yes. It was
against a team with a pulse.
And it was Austin Jones coming through after USC had lost Travis Dye.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. An outstanding performance, enjoyable from start to finish mostly. Still buzzing.
Yeah. Absolutely. So this leaves us with, a final tally of forever iconic, the 50-0 win over UCLA in 2011, the field rushing game in 2013 over Stanford, the epic Rose Bowl win over Penn State, the double overtime win against Texas in 2017, the win over the Stanford Cardinal in the 2017 Pac-12 championship game, and the 48-45 win at UCLA in 2022. That's it. Those are the forever iconic wins in SC history. Of course, plenty of big still buzzing wins. Wins at Oregon, at Washington, at Stanford. A couple of wins over Stanford and Notre Dame there. So, I think that there absolutely have been big key moments. Is the wealth of these moments on par with the Pete Carroll era the decade before this? No. But there's absolutely plenty of moments here that I think that you'll forever remember. And I think that's the important part. Even in the times where SC doesn't have a national championship to their name, you want to be able to still have iconic moments, and SC has those.
There have been really good times in the past, decade or so. It hasn't always been great for USC. It's been a struggle at times, but there have been some really, really outstanding wins that we will continue to talk about. So,
yeah. Absolutely. All right. Let's turn the page and go over to the mailbag.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You've got mail.
We got a question from Cameron in the chat. Are the rumors of Oregon and Washington going to the Big Ten at the end of the week true or not? I don't know. I have not paid nearly enough attention to this stuff as I probably should.
Here's what I'll say. Did we know that USC and UCLA were going to the Big Ten before it happened?
No.
We knew right around the time when it actually happened. So these things, we didn't know about you. Texas and Oklahoma had sort of, I think there had been like a little bit of an undercurrent, but until it happened, it just all happened at once. So what I would say is that if reliable rumors about Oregon and Washington going to the Big Ten actually are there, they will be followed very swiftly by that being made official, or as official as Bruce Feldman saying it's happening. I would take them with a grain of salt. Do I think that there's a good chance that Oregon and Washington eventually go to the Big Ten? Yeah, I think I don't have hopes for the Pac-12 existing in its current membership for too much longer. But if those were reliable rumors, the news would come swiftly.
Yeah, I think so. And keep an eye out for how all this stuff is going to shake out. I know the ACC is in a bit of turmoil this week. There's ACC meetings going on. There's questions about ACC schools and whether or not they're going to, you know, potentially force the hand of the conference and whatnot there. So I don't know. All this stuff to me, it all feels yo-yo-y. I just put people in a locked room and don't let them come out until there's an answer. And then when they come out, tell me what the thing is, so that way I don't have to do the whole yo-yo thing. Yeah. That's all I want. All right, that's going to wrap up this thing. We'll be back next week. Talk more USC football next Monday, 5 p.m. Pacific, here live on YouTube. And of course, we ranked the USC victories of the Pac-12 era right here on YouTube live. If you are a member, and there will be a members-only episode posted later on tonight that you can check out here, where we talk about the Pac-12 losses, the USC losses of the Pac-12 era, and you can rank how hurtful all those losses were. The Jail Mary, the blowout to Notre Dame, the Tulane loss. Where do they rank? I don't know. Check that out if you're a member. If you're not a member, you can join us. You get bonus content every month as long, and as well as access to the Discord, so we can chat with us and the rest of the Rot Squad. That's gonna be it. We will be back next week. We appreciate you guys as always, and until then, see ya.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.